They've been worse after cancer. And so I take a medication. And so I was feeling it last night. And my wife, I drove, she flew, because she's flying back. And that maximizes her time with our kids. And so her flight kept getting delayed because she flew through Chicago. So we didn't get back to the hotel till 1 o'clock in the morning, which was 4 o'clock in the morning her time. But because of that, we get to sleep in because our time frame is different, right? So it all worked out. But that really put me in a bad place. So this morning I was struggling with a migraine, which is why I think I totally forgot where I was going this morning in my opening. I mean, it was like probably the worst I've ever had, where I'm going somewhere. Man, I was lost. So, you know, I made it through the service, and some of that's adrenaline. You know, you're not feeling it. And then, boy, it started going downhill hard. And so when we left after lunch, I was like, all I want to do is one thing. And so I laid down, and I struggled. It hurt so bad this afternoon. I was feeling sick. And so I thought, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I pray about, and you know, weeks before, I'm looking at my notes and saying, Lord, what would you have me to speak? And so I kind of had a plan. But I try to stay flexible with that. And so, you know, last night I looked at some things as well. And so my plan was this afternoon to really solidify that. And if I ever take a nap on Sunday afternoon, I try to solidify for sure what I'm going to preach that night. Because that way when I'm not trying to figure things out after, you know, you wake up and you're kind of in a daze or whatever. But I felt so bad. I was like, I'm not doing that. And boy, that nap didn't really help. And so I was just laying there miserable, and I'm like, how can I even think? And so I basically looked at my notes, and I kind of laid it out, and I was like, Lord, I even asked my wife, I said, should I pick the one that's easier for my brain? Because I'm having a hard time. And I didn't. And I actually said, Lord, I really believe it's this one. Can you please confirm that in the service tonight? And I had taken the maximum amount of pills that I was supposed to for my, you know, and I'm afraid to go beyond that. I don't know what would happen. It's probably not good, so I don't do it. And which normally means it's just going to get worse. And I'm going to be sweating. So we came. We had our prayer time in here. And I started to feel a little better. I prayed this afternoon a lot. I was like, Lord, just touch me because I am not good. And I started feeling better and better and better, almost emotional. And I'm like, is this the medication? I don't know. But I was like, Lord, you're speaking to me in the songs. I wanted to preach the songs. I really did. I sing some of the phrases in these songs, and I'm like, yes, the truth that's there is so good for us. And the testimony time is specifically yours. Because that's the topic that I'm speaking on tonight. And I had asked God to confirm that to me. And those are the kind of things that God does. And the truth that He speaks through His Word is exactly what we need. And that was just, it's confirmed. And I feel fantastic right now. And I'm not saying, hey, the service is going to be long. I'm not saying that. In fact, I actually wanted to kind of apologize because I had no idea what time I came up here this morning. And I checked my watch when I was done, and I was like, that is not what I wanted. And so that is not my intent to preach that long, okay? I just want you to know that. And pastor's got this look on his face like it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter to me because I know that it does matter to some of you. And because I'm a person that doesn't like to sit still, and I don't care what's going on. Even if it's a basketball game that I'm watching, I'm going to get up, right? I'm going to go to the kitchen or whatever. I'm not going to stay still the whole time. So sitting and listening to preaching can be difficult, and I don't want it to be difficult for you. So it's not my plan to preach long. I just want you to know that, and I want to commend you because my wife said this to me, and I'm like, that's very true. What a great group for a Sunday night. A lot of churches, there's churches we go to where there's as many people as there were here this morning, and then Sunday night it's like 30 people. And you're like, what happened? Where did everybody go? You know, it disappears. And so it reminds me of the song that we sang, May the Lord Find Us Faithful. Well, what does that mean? Well, this is one of those things, is being faithful to hear His Word and where he wants us to be and what's best for us, seeking first the kingdom of God, as the verse said, well, this is part of that. It's saying, Lord, help me to be in the right places so that I don't miss what you'd have for me. And I want your kingdom to be exalted, and I want you to be exalted in that. So that's the freebie, all right? That's the freebie. You can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yeah, I don't want to be... it's just something that I don't want to be, but we all have our opinions, and I respect that you have opinions about things, but I don't want to be political about things. But over the last 16 years, maybe more than that, maybe 20, I have felt like politically we have massive pendulum swings, and so sometimes, no matter what side you're on, you can feel tremendous, or you can feel tremendously bad, right? Depending on which side of that pendulum you are on. But regardless of that, we are not headed in a positive direction morally. We're not. Several months ago, I was watching a college football game, and commercials for all of us have always been annoying, and we don't really pay attention. And so, fortunately, we have these digital distractions in our hands called a phone, and so you do something on those when you're not watching the game or whatever because of a commercial. And that's what I was doing. I don't even know what I was doing on my phone. But while I was doing that, during that commercial, it's white noise, you know, because you're partly paying attention because you're like, I'm ready for my game to come back on. And I heard something on the commercial that I said, that's not normal. And I looked at the commercial and I was, the people that were being portrayed and the lifestyles that were being promoted is not even the right word. Pushed. It was offensive to me. And I don't get offended. But it bothered me. I thought, look, like, as an American, you have your choice. You have your choice to live how you want to live. As a Christian, I say, you know, there's truth of God's word that's going to mean something. We're all going to be judged one day. And we need to live our life by that. And so my heart goes out to those people. But that doesn't mean that, like, I'm not, as a Christian, I'm not going to force you to follow God's word. I don't believe that's right. You need to make your choice. But I think the same is true. You should not force me to believe whatever you believe. It should be a choice. But I saw that and I thought, wow, it was a credit card commercial. That's what it was for. And I'm like, are you pushing that I should believe something, or are you trying to get me to sign up for your credit card? Because it's not working either way. But I remember seeing that thinking, wow, we've come a long ways. We are pushing. Our culture is pushing. Lifestyles, terminology, etc., that 15 years ago, we didn't know those words existed, let alone those ideas. They have. Sin has always been, I mean, read the Bible. There are some chapters in the book of Judges that will shock you intentionally, because that's what happens when we get away from God's truth. Amen. And Timothy is Paul's disciple, whom he has left in the town of Ephesus to pastor that church. And so as he's there, Timothy didn't really go to Bible college other than the traveling Bible college of Paul for however long that was. And so, but he was left there because that church needed a pastor. And so Paul is writing these two letters to him to instruct him to how to guide that church and to do what he needs to do and to shore up his own personal character and following of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he addresses some real world issues, and this is the beauty of God's word, that those same truths apply to us today exactly as they did in that day. That is the beauty of God and His Word. And I'm stealing from what I'm going to say later. But we can look at verse 1. Paul tells Timothy, he says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Danger. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Isn't that the reality? We don't care about anybody else. It's all about me. Covetous. It's what I want more than anything else. Boasters. Proud. It's all about me, and I am... wasn't that taught? You're the best. No, no, don't let anybody bring you down. Don't let anybody walk on you. That's promoted in our culture. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I grew up in Kansas. I just saw something. It was an advertisement, I guess to Satanists, that in the state of Kansas, they're going to have a black mass in the capital, in Topeka, Kansas, and it literally says a time of blasphemy and black mass. In the capital of a conservative state. That's our country. That's the reality. That's the world that we live in. That's exactly what he says. People that are proud to be blasphemers. Wow. Disobedient to parents. Hey, kids, it starts young. You can be just as wicked as anybody, just as disobedient to God. Unthankful. Boy, we don't think of that as a bad deal. But if you're an unthankful person, it's because some of these other things apply as well. You're proud, covetous. It's about you. That's why you're unthankful. It's true words. But we need to admit that. We need to be grateful, thankful people, realizing I don't deserve this, but it's the blessing of God through somebody else in my life. Unholy. Without natural affection. I every time I read that, I think of abortion. That we wouldn't love the most innocent around us. Truce breakers. Why? We don't care. I can say whatever I want to say and break my promises. False accusers. Wow, isn't that the truth? Incontinent. That means without having self-control in our lives. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Boy, isn't that amazing? Why would you be despising of somebody who's a good person? But that's the reality, isn't it? If you stand in my way, I don't care if you're a good person. I'm going to despise you. I'm going to hate you. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. People that pose as religious, but they're not, it's just a pose. From such, turn away. And then he goes on and he talks about people that withstood Moses, and he says, they will withstand you. You know how they have withstood me. And you know how I've been, Paul said. He says, you know my manner of life. You know my doctrine. You know all the things that I did and have done. And yet despite my nurture and care and love for people and service to others, and I didn't rob churches. I did it on my own dollar. You know that, and yet you also know that those people attacked me, they beat me, they stoned me, they left me for dead, and he names specific locations, and he says, you remember this? And then he says in verse 12, and we'll pick it up there, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." If you're going to have a testimony for God, meaning people know that you're a follower of God, and they should know, then you're going to face some adversity. Amen. You're going to face people who don't like what you do, who are against what you do, and that's hard. Internally, that's hard. Amen. And then he says, verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." They'll grow worse and worse. It's not going to get better, he says. It's going to get worse. And then verse 14, I think this is the crux of the passage. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What are those things? Well, he continues explaining that and says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Those are the things that you've learned. Those are the things that you've been assured of. And has known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. What is he saying? In the midst of this world that is growing darker and darker, and is more wicked and more wicked, and is going to stand against you, and is going to do things against you, the answer is the Word of God. Amen. That is what we need. And just as she said, there's so much around us that wants to pander to our feelings, but my feelings change. The circumstances of my life can change how I feel about life, but truth does not change. The truth of the Word of God is unchangeable and eternal. It's amazing. And he's saying, Timothy, I won't be around forever, but the Word of God will. Amen. Your feelings may be up, may they be down. Times may be good, times may be bad. The answer is the Word of God. Amen. And can I say, no matter what issue you have in your life, the answer is the Word of God. And just because you don't know where that answer is doesn't mean it's not there. I remember hearing these things as a college student and below, that the answer is in the Word of God. And you know, there's like a scratch in the back of my mind, an itch that says, really? Everything? But I have been amazed at verses in Genesis, male and female created he them. 30 years ago, we would look at that, just blow right on by it. Boy, you just see how simple of a truth that is. And we say, the Word of God addresses things from the very beginning. The simple truths. And as you go through life, you may not know where the answer is, but this is why we need godly people in our life. This is why we need to be in church services where we can hear preaching, so that we can be taught things from the Word of God, the truth, so that we'll know in the time when we need it, here's that truth. And have Scripture written on cards so that when you're cleaning the house, you lean down and you pick it up and you're like, hey, that's what I need. How God can address the issues of our life at all times, and it's through His Word. So we need to be in His Word. There's several ways to be in God's Word. What's the first, easiest, simplest way? Read it. Right? Read it. Read it. If the answers are there, if it is what I need to get through life with the answers that I have to change my life, then I need to read it. That's so simple, right? But it's like saying exercise. It's the best thing you can do to make your life healthy. Now, I've got this book because, you know, when I got cancer, people give you a lot of information. They're like, hey, you need to stop eating bacon. And I'm like, well, that's not going to happen. You know, it is what it is. But, you know, all kinds of advice that people give you. My brother-in-law sent me a book, and it was, you know, I read a lot of the things that people did send me, and just to try to find whatever help you can find. But there's a doctor, that medical doctor, that he says, hey, look, why do people live to 100 years old and some people live to 80? What's up with the people that live that long? And so he figured, he did the studies and said, look, they die the same things that we do. They just don't get them for 20 or 30 years after we do. And we can't figure out why it is the case. It just is the case. But in his studies, he's found that, you know, some really scary statistics. And if you're in one of these categories, I'm not trying to condemn you, okay? But they say if you fall after the age of 65 and break a bone, there's only a 50% chance that you live another 10 years. Right? That's pretty serious, right? And you say, okay. All right, my mom's over that age, and she fell last year and broke her arm. And so she didn't like when I said that. And I'm like, okay, I'm not saying, Mom. I'm not saying you're in the bad 50%, but it's just the reality, okay? And there's reasons for that, and you can think that. Like, you break your finger. I don't really think that that's that probably doesn't qualify to be in that category. But, and they also say after 70 years old, there's a precipitous drop-off. And so, obviously, eating, what you eat helps you, right? But the biggest factor is exercise. Because exercise, even if it's just walking, your strength is better, your balance is better, your flexibility is better. And so if you do, you have less of a chance of falling after 65. And if you do, you have less of a chance of being injured. And the third thing is, if there's a precipitous fall after 70, wouldn't you rather fall from, you know, your low floor is higher, right? Than saying, my health is already down here, so it's going to drop even lower. We know these things. I don't really need a doctor to tell me these things. Oh, there's some interesting facts in there, but we know that exercise makes us feel better, right? It just does. Simple exercise. It makes us feel like we look better, right? Whether that's true or not, it makes us feel like that. We know that it's good for us, even if it doesn't make us look better or feel better. We know that it's good for us. But do we do it? Some of us do. Simple things that we don't do, but we know we should. And reading the Word of God is one of those things. And man, is reading a whole lot easier than exercise. It really is. And look, is 10 minutes of exercise better than 0 minutes? Is 10 minutes of reading God's Word better than 0 minutes? Can anybody do it? Yeah. I doubt that very, very few of you go anywhere without your phone. And you probably all have a Bible app on your phone, right? You can listen to it. So many Bible apps out there will read it to you. You can open, you can set reminders. There's all these plans and helpful plans. Pastor and his wife and I were talking about that last night. There's all kinds of things that we can do that help us to read God's Word and be in it. And Paul is saying, Timothy, we need to be in God's Word. And reading is one of those things. Listening to preaching is another one. God is ordained by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I think there's two applications. To save the lost that believe in Him. And to sanctify the saved that are believing in Him. Amen. God uses preaching. Look, I don't quite get all of it. I'm like, why did God choose this format? But you know, the more we learn, the more, some things go back to preaching. You know, we used to think, how are people going to come to church when we've got TVs and television? Maybe we need to change what we do, right? Because people are so entertained, they're not going to want to come and hear somebody talk, right? And how have podcasts exploded, right? People want to hear someone talk when they can't even see them. I'm amazed by that. And I think, you know what? God knows all along that there's something built into us to want to listen to somebody talk. I don't get it. But I also know that when God does that, God speaks to our hearts. And we've all been in a service, if you've been going to church for any amount of time and you've heard preaching, and it's just like God reaches into your heart and grabs you and says, this is something that I want for you and you need to do it. And you're like, oh, yeah. You know, you're just gripped by the truth. Well, we need to be around that. I've been around, you know, I was a youth pastor, and one of the things that blew my mind was that I'd have teenagers like, well, I want to know God's will. I really do, and I believe that they wanted to know God's will. But when we'd have an event where there's preaching, they don't show up. And I'm like, you know, God reveals Himself through His Word, and one of those ways is through preaching. Amen. And maybe you would know what God wanted if you were there to hear what He has to say. Right? It's not complicated things. So we need to be around that. We need to be around the places when there's preaching. Hey, and you're here. So pat on the back for me that you're here to hear preaching. You know, another way to get God's Word in our lives is through discipleship. We could call it mentoring or whatever. Godly people who use Scripture in their lives. Because we don't know everything. And so sometimes we need somebody in our lives to help us. Look, we all have ideas. We all have thoughts. Hey, I don't understand this about Scripture. I'm thinking this about my life. I have a decision to make. You need to have people in your life that are godly, that you can bounce these things off of. I am shocked. I'm shocked. I hear this all the time. I've not heard it here because your pastor hasn't told me these things. But I hear it all the time from pastors. They've got a family in their church and they're going to make X decision. And they've not consulted their pastor. It's not that the pastor is going to tell you what you should do in the sense of he knows God's will for your life. But hey, pastor, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? Is this a wise choice? What does the Bible say about this? I just need some advice. Look, I do that. I've got a master's degree from a Bible college. I don't know everything. Sometimes my brain does weird things, obviously, right? But I call my pastor. Hey, pastor, what do you think about this? We sat down with my pastor 3 weeks ago, I guess, and his wife. We took him out to eat. I was like, hey, I've got some questions to ask you. Because this is what my wife and I are thinking, and this is why we're thinking this. What's your thoughts? We wanted their thoughts. My pastor, who'd been a pastor for 30-plus years when I was a youth pastor, when there was a decision that he had to make, even decisions that I thought, oh, come on, pastor, you know, you're wise. Do you really need to do this? He had like a list of 5 or 6 pastors that he would call and say, hey, what do you think about this? Wow. And you know, what a wise thing. He never told me to do that, but I learned from that. If this man who already makes wise decisions is doing that, then I need to do those things too. And make sure that the people you go to for counsel are using the Bible as their basis.
Amen.
Because that's where true infinite wisdom comes from, the Word of God.
Amen.
The book of Proverbs says to give knowledge to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. You know what that tells me? That every person, it says young man, young person, okay? All of us have been young at one point, right?
Amen.
That all of us started out simple and without knowledge. Is that not the truth? Well, then I need knowledge given to me. And I need to learn discretion. And I need to learn wisdom. And the Bible says it comes from, that God has given that to us in His Word. What a blessing that God gave us this. And that's what Paul's saying is, look, Timothy, you don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. But God does, and He's given it to us in Scripture, and we need to invest our lives in it because it is the answer to our culture. And He gives us 3 reasons. That was a very long introduction, so we won't be as long in the other points. Okay, and the first one is very simple. In verse number 16, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration. Why do I need to be in God's Word? Because it's inspired.
Amen.
What does that mean? It literally means God breathed. Well, we learned in Peter that holy men of God spake. They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, we think about inspiration. We might think somebody was inspired to paint or to draw or to play an instrument or to write a song or a poem or something. And I think that's a good shadow of what biblical inspiration is. Because you are somehow motivated. And maybe that is a spark of God that He's put in your life. It's not the same, but it's similar, that these men were compelled internally by God to write to Timothy, to a church, or to write the history, or to write the burden, the message that they had in the Old Testament. And so they would write that down. And God superintended that so that what they wrote was what He wanted them to write without error. That's how God did it. Now, it wasn't that it was not auto-dictation that they're like, what's the next word? And had no idea what they were writing. But God gave them things that was prophetic, and sometimes they knew it was prophetic, but didn't know all the exact meanings of that. But God superintended that His Word is what He wanted it to be. It's inspired. That makes it extremely special. There's some good books out there. I have been recommended good books by pastors and friends of mine, books that have changed my life. They've helped me to develop certain areas of my life, etc. And I'm sure you've read some of those same kinds of good books. But those books have errors. Those books have things in them that as culture changes and as behaviors change, those kind of things, some of those things don't have the same application as they had before. The Word of God is not like that because God wrote it. And there's several things that we can gain from that. If God wrote it, it carries His authority, doesn't it?
Amen.
Therefore, if He said it and it has application to my life, I better obey it. Because when authority tells you something, are you accountable or are you not? You're accountable. Your boss tells you to do something. What if you don't do it? There's a price to pay. There's a judgment coming. And God knows. And He tells us this because there are some eternal truths that matter. And one of them is that He has given us a life and a responsibility to honor him in that life, and there will be a judgment to come. So it carries his authority. I ought to obey it. It also means, look, this is one of those things I think, God is omniscient. He knows everything. He cannot be inaccurate, right? It's impossible for God to be wrong about something. That would give him a flaw in which he couldn't be God. Like, to me, it's one of those qualifications that, like, well, obviously you're going to be God. If it's his book, then it's completely accurate. It can't be wrong. And if it can't be wrong, therefore I should trust it. There are many times in our lives where we don't understand, but we know what God says. Trust that. Don't trust anything else. You say, well, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, well, neither did crossing the Red Sea, right? Neither did wandering in a wilderness for 40 years. Neither did taking a bunch of slaves who'd never fought any battles and say, you're going to conquer an entire country. Neither did so many other things in Scripture. But God's Word has never failed because it's 100% accurate and it can be trusted. It's also illuminating. What do I mean by that? It teaches us things that we would not otherwise know. And we have this super special blessing of the Spirit of God, who, when His Word is read or spoken, the Holy Spirit is there to use it in our lives, to convict us of truth. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, to teach us, to lead us and guide us, so that things that we would not otherwise understand. In other words, the author is speaking in our minds, showing us his word, showing us what it means, showing us how it applies to our lives. We can be wrong, but the Holy Spirit is never wrong. And he teaches us that. And so even if there's things that we say, Lord, I don't understand this, God can open that door to our hearts. And it's his book, and so it's miraculous. It's miraculous. I hesitate to use this word, but I think you know where I'm going with it. It's magical. Because it does things that I can't explain. The hardest heart is opened and softened by the Word of God.
Amen.
His Word is like a fire, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. I can't divorce that word rock from thinking of somebody's heart who is hard as a rock. Right? Or their mind that is shut to God. Oh, like God can't penetrate that? Obviously he can. And he uses his word. The word of God can soften us. I'm sorry to keep going back to this, but how the word of, it reminded me of something that I was going through a difficult time in my ministry as a youth pastor. And I went and I was going to read the Psalms. At least I thought I was. I actually just said, Lord, I'm going to let my Bible flop open and I'm going to read there because I need the encouragement. And I assumed that it was going to be Psalms because it's a big book and it's in the middle. So I thought that's where it was going to flop to. And I thought, I need encouragement, so that's what God's going to give me. And as I was reading, it was Luke, not Psalms. And it was the passage that Jesus was saying, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. And I was like, Lord, that's not very encouraging. But because of what I was going through, it was as if the Lord said, look, following me isn't easy, and you have a choice. You cannot follow me. Maybe life will be easier. But if you choose to follow me and serve me, there's a cross to bear. Do you want to bear the cross or not? I needed that. And I was challenged. I was convicted. But I was encouraged. Because God gave me what I needed, not what I wanted. I wanted to be coddled. That's not what I needed. God's word penetrates your heart. That's what he says in Hebrews, right? It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That God takes the truth of his word and gets exactly the spot that we need, so that we'll change. And Paul says, Timothy, this is a special book. You need to read it. also because of its instruction. Notice verse 16 again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That is the teaching of the truth of God's Word. It'll tell you that you're a sinner. It'll tell you why you're a sinner. It'll tell you the results of being a sinner. It'll tell you how you're a sinner. It'll say all those things. It teaches us what we need to know. It'll say that despite the fact that you're a sinner and you're alienated from God in your mind, that God still loves you. And because He loves you, He sent His Son to die for you. And that He can clean you completely up. That He can justify you. That He can see you as righteous. That He can redeem your life and use it for something valuable. So many things that the Word of God teaches us. It teaches us about the Holy Spirit. It teaches us about His Word. It teaches us about things to come. It is profitable to teach us all the things that we need to know. For reproof. I needed reproof that night and God gave it to me. Sometimes we need reproof. And God is good enough to reprove us with a hammer. The hammer of His Word. And sometimes we need it, right? But God lovingly swings that hammer. The power of our God to do that is amazing. For correction. Not only, okay, you did wrong, okay. Here's how you can live your life right. Here's how you should live your life right. Here's how you can set a path for your life. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How am I going to live a clean life even though maybe I've done X, Y, and Z? By taking heed thereto according to Thy Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, I don't know the steps to take. Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. But the Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen. Thy words have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. God gives us what He wants for us in His Word. I was talking to, I think it was Eric this morning, that God does not expect you to know what you don't know. God doesn't expect you to do what you can't do. What a blessing. But you know what? He can teach you, and He can enable you, and He can change you, and that comes through His Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, that if we have an open heart and an open face to the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit changes us from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God, that we are made into the image of Christ by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. That's God's plan. But that will not happen unless we go to the Word of God with an open, moldable heart and say, God, I am incomplete. I am imperfect. I don't understand everything. But I believe Your Word is truth. And I believe You use Your Word to change me, to convict me. And Lord, that's what I need. When we do that, God gives us what we need every single time we open His Word. Because it is profitable. We like profit, right? We want to invest in things that are profitable and not things that are not profitable. This is always profitable. Amen. It's not a wasted time. Amen. For instruction in righteousness. How should I live my life the way God wants me to? And then third, last, why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Its intention is to make me the perfect person that God wants me to be. Nobody can be perfect. Well, except for maybe Job, because God said he was perfect. Well, maybe me, because Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. Okay, well, maybe we've got a wrong idea of what perfect looks like. Maybe our idea of perfect looks like I never sin. That I'm the perfect person. Well, guess what? None of us are. We know that. So what does it mean? It means that you're exactly the person that God wants you to be. Well, what does that look like? Well, Job was a person called perfect. Well, what did Job do? It says that he feared God. He was concerned more with what God thought than what anybody else thought.
Amen.
Well, the fear of the Lord comes from the Word of God. And we can know that. So I'm more concerned with what God wants than what anybody else wants, including myself. That I fear God and that He eschewed evil. He hated evil and He stayed away from it with everything. Well, the Word of God teaches me how to do that. Well, so those two things help, and that he was upright. He did everything that he knew that was right in his life. Can you do that? Can you do everything that you know that is right in your life? Well, for the most part, you can. But there is a problem. And sometimes I do wrong. But that passage in Job chapter 1 teaches us that even when his children had birthday parties, that he would get them all together as a family, and he led them in, this is what we're going to do. Just in case that we've sinned, we're going to get alone with God, we're going to make sacrifice, we're going to get right with God just in case we've sinned. So what does that tell us about Job? That he was a person that if he ever did wrong, he was going to get right. Amen. And God says, that's the kind of person that I want. Because I know that you can't live your life without sin. But what I want is the person that does do wrong gets right as soon as they possibly can. As soon as they're under conviction, they say, that's what I'm going to do. And God says, that's a person that's perfect. How do I learn to be that way? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. The Word of God is what makes me what God wants me to be. Sometimes we come in here preaching and we're just like, God, I just want to know how to live. It's through His Word. That's the one thing that you can know that God wants me to do. Get alone with Him, get in His Word, and say, Lord, open my eyes to behold wondrous things from out of Thy law. Lord, give me a love for You from Your Word. Lord, show me the breadcrumb of the next step that I should take in my life. And Lord, give me the grace and humility to obey. Because some of these things aren't easy. Because sometimes I've held on to things that I should not have held on to. Sometimes I'm entrenched in sin and I don't want to give it up. But Lord, I believe that Your way is perfect and that's what I want. That's what God wants from us. And we're not going to get that anywhere but His Word. And regardless of the storms of life and regardless of the wickedness of life that surrounds us, you can be exactly what God wants you to be. You can weather those storms. And Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, the answer to all of it is the Word of God. You've got to put your life in the Word of God. So my challenge to you is this. If you don't have a daily Bible reading time, get one. How do I do that? Well, you make a plan. You make a plan. You say, and you don't say, well, I'm going to do this for the next 40 years. Well, that's really tough. How about I'm just going to do it today? And I'm going to plan on doing it tomorrow. And I'm going to set a reminder on my phone. And I'm going to be consistent every day. And maybe I'm like Job and I say, I'm going to esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And so before I eat breakfast, I'm going to spend time in God's Word. Some of you, while you eat breakfast, you scroll through stuff. Why don't you scroll through God's Word? Why don't you do that? In the time that you take, you can read it. On your way to work, you know, hit play. Play Scripture. Meditate on that. Maybe you already do that. Great. Can you ratchet it up a little bit? Can you make sure you're studying His Word? Memorizing His Word? Lord, help me to apply this to my life. Lord, help me to share Your Word. Help me to be the kind of person that I need to be. Make a plan that you are going to be in God's Word. With your heads bowed and eyes closed. That's my challenge. Would you make a plan that you're going to be consistently in the Word of God? Maybe that means for you that you're going to be more faithful to the services of your local church so that you don't miss what God has for you. Maybe that's something that's been missing in your life. The area of faithfulness. Faithfulness to His Word. We believe in the preeminence and the priority of preaching in the services of church because it's His Word. That's what's going to guide our lives. Not songs, not those other things. The Word of God. It teaches us those things. But maybe you'd say, God has spoken to my heart to make His Word a priority in my life, to have a plan that I'm going to be consistent in God's Word. And so here's how I want to make that measurable for you. You would say, out of the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be in God's Word every day. If that's you, would you raise your hand? That's my commitment to God. Praise the Lord. Maybe you've had that before. Maybe you already do that.